Welcome to the Opawa Baptist Podcast. If you'd like to find out more about our church, visit us on any Sunday or online at opawa.org.nz.
I was going to be brave and ask everybody to say this. Sawadi? Sawadi? Sawadi. And I think because I'm a female... Sawadika. So hello, Peter and Lindley. Now, I've been asked to give a little bit of a welcome and an introduction. Peter and Lindley felt the call of mission from a young age. They worked as ESOL teachers to refugees in New Zealand until 2004, when they were led to Southeast Asia with Transend. Initially, they were in northeast Thailand with Cornerstone Workplace English, teaching English to Thais in businesses and at the office. They also taught in community-based education, usually at local temples and at a youth prison. After a period of time, God called them to a different part of Thailand over in the northeast. This area is one of the poorest in Thailand, and as a result, many people of working age move to Bangkok for work. Therefore, this area has the highest ratio of young people to old people, the highest rate of teen pregnancy, and the lowest level of education in the country. The need for help with families and education is huge. And that's the area where Peter and Lindley were called to. Since they've been there, they have been partnering with local churches in setting up income generation projects and English classes. They have helped set up community centres, and some of the community projects that they have helped with include raising quails, mushrooms, frogs, as well as weaving and sewing. They have been training others, particularly in business practice. Lindley has been teaching music, including the guitar, and they have been developing Bible reading materials in Thai with assistance from a national. They have been very much involved in discipling and encouraging and supporting the local believers and local churches. They have had the joy of seeing children, young people, adults and grannies put their trust in Jesus and grow in their faith. There have been many challenges, not to mention a few that I'm just going to share. The heat. One of their recent newsletters said that the temperature was 41 degrees. Language learning. Relationship issues. Disappointments. But their desire has been to demonstrate God's grace to others and to shine the light of God's love as shown through Jesus in that part of the world. They have served our Lord Jesus in Thailand for 12 years. We welcome you here today, Peter and Lindley, and look forward to what you have to share. I was reminded of a scripture in Acts chapter 14, when Paul came back from one of his missionary journeys. And I'm just going to read the end portion. From Italia, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been committed to the grace of God for the work they had now completed. On arriving back there, they gathered the church together and reported all that God had done through them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So we praise God for what he has done through you. Thank you.
Francis had to say, yes, this is exactly the position. Yeah, we left here something in left New Zealand about 12 years ago, and in this time, yeah, we've done lots of things, and a lot of it in cooperation with our friends here at Opawa. So what we've been able to do wouldn't be possible without your contributions. So yeah, now it's our turn to report back to you. So we're people with a commission to fulfill. Two of the main commands that Jesus gave, one that often referred to at the end of Matthew 22, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love others as ourselves. Matthew 28, as we go about our lives in every part of the world, our paraphrase, be about the business of making disciples of people in every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. It's trendy in these days that we live in to talk about church planting. We see that we have a role of making disciples, including ourselves. How are we getting on with our own discipleship role with Jesus? A few years ago, the Bible Society did a survey and found that there was something like 5% of the total population read our Bibles every day. Something like 19% of those people who call ourselves Christians read our Bibles every day. How are we getting on in extending God's kingdom by being a disciple? Jesus' commands apply to everyone. It's not just selective few. We are sent by the authority of Jesus into every community worldwide. So challenge for you folks here at Opawa, reaching the community around Opawa, and we'll get back to that later on. We've been living in the north. Yeah, there it is. That red one, two in. We're about 2 hours drive from the Mekong River that is the shared boundary with Laos over the border to the right in the picture. And three down from the top. So that general area that you see with the big circle around it, we call Isan. Isan has its own language, which is more related to Laos over the border historically. About 30% of the vocab of this language is shared with Central Thai, based on Bangkok, and the other 70% is new words. So in our province, we have about 1 million people, with the main city is the name also of the province, as is typical of the provinces around Thailand, 77 provinces. Ours pretty much plop in the middle of this Isan region, which is about a third of the landmass of Thailand and about a third of the population base. And until about now, a year ago, there was no Bible available in the local language. So it's the 2nd of June 2016, there was the publication of the New Testament in this language, which is the heart language for most of that 20-odd million that make up this area. So our province, it has about 1,500 believers based on reliable information and stats that are put together by missiologists. than when in the roughly 7 years that we've been in Thailand, in this part of Thailand, that has almost doubled. Not much to do with us. We get to stand like stunned mullets, mouths open, and see what God's doing, and have the privilege of being able to tell you of what God is doing. 1 Timothy chapter 2 tells us to pray for everybody everywhere, and we would forget to do that, not recognize that we need to do it, if it wasn't for the likes of our Transcend team being there, represented, so that, God is at work there. But the same God that's at work there is at work here. And I'm delighted to see we've been down south and what God's doing in places like Gore and Invercargill. The same God's at work here in this part of Christchurch, in spite of all the hassles that we've had with earthquakes and fires on the hill up there. God is at work, and we've been privileged to be part of this. So, what do we see? We see Buddhist shrines, and on the left-hand side, typically the monks will come wandering around first thing in the morning. It's often the case. These shrines and images, the statue, it has a throat, but it can't make any sound. It has hands and arms, but have no power. This is very obvious that we're in a Buddhist environment when we come to a place like this. But not many churches, and most of the churches that are there, are very small. But it's better to have... Yeah. Yet typically about 20 or 30 people would be a good-sized church, and often just 10 or a dozen. But it's better to have small churches than no churches. It is one of the other options. The Roman Catholics have churches as well. I've been to the Roman Catholic Church, visited them a few times, and the Roman Catholics probably have about as many people going to their church as all the Protestants together have going to the Protestant churches. God is alive and well in the Catholic churches as well. We have English is very highly sought after, and the Catholic churches have many Filipinas who work in them. Lovely people who show God's grace and care. And if you want your kids to get a good education, send them to the Catholic Church. The state schools are not reliably known for giving a good education, but the Catholics and the Filipinas that are part of the Catholic teaching system do a wonderful job. We have challenges. Yes, Francis talked about our language. It's a fun time for us to learn a language. Linley and I were over 50, Linley only by a couple of days, when we first went to Asia. And typically it's much harder for somebody who's older like we are to learn another language. But we are living testimony that with God's help, we can do this. And as Francis talked about a few minutes ago, Linley wrote Bible reading materials for those that needed it. I see on the board out there, there's the word for the day, or what are these Bible reading notes that we have available. Also available in Thai, with the same picture on the front, translated from English into Thai. Talking about, leading up to Christmas, how busy life is and things, busy in the shops. Excuse me? We're in Thailand here. No, there's... We see a few Christmas trees around these days because, yeah, Christmas is a good commercial enterprise, but where does Jesus get into this Christmas thing? So Lindley wrote 366 days worth of Bible reading notes. But we can do it, but it is a challenge. Heat, it's not just the heat, it's the humidity that goes with it that's the killer. So when it's dry... Yeah, that's we can do that. The Buddhist way of thinking, this can be a real problem for us. That I don't know why you're building this thing through here. It's just going to fall down again. Give it 100 years, 200 years, it'll all be crumbling again. The Buddhist way of thinking is a bit like that. Why are we put a whole lot of effort into... maintaining stuff that's old. The Buddhist way of thinking I do lots of good, not because I think I should do good, but because I have a perception that it'll overcome the bad things that I've done. The Buddhist way of thinking. Conflict resolutions, yeah, we have all sorts of problems, and not so much with the people that we work with, the Thais, but it's the foreigners who are supposed to work alongside us. And, yeah, we can have the idea that play the mine's better than yours game. Oh, the toilet roll's supposed to come over this way, not go around that way. You got it wrong! Oh, we're making a cup of tea and do we put the milk in afterwards or first? Oh, you've got it wrong. That you even put milk in at all. The conflict resolutions, yeah, well, we had some real issues with some others that we were working with. And so because of that, we have finished working under the same organisation that they were and setting up our own. Priorities. There's a strong demand for the English that we are teaching, and a lot of people are busy during the week and they would like us to teach at the weekend, all weekend, Saturday, all day, Sunday, all day. We like to have Sunday off. When we have Sunday off, we like to meet up with churches around and about. We need to set priorities. The needs are extreme, and we could spend all our efforts in some things that might be a good idea, but are they the best idea, the best thing for us to do? We need to set priorities for our work so that long term we're going to succeed. Our top priorities in all our work: through obedience and cooperation, is to see God's people's lives transformed by coming to knowledge of salvation through Christ alone. Again, Francis has stolen our thunder. Yeah, we need to cooperate with other people. We need to partner in all sorts of ways with all sorts of different things. There are some things that we can do well, we can do exceptionally well, but we can't do the whole thing together, so we need to find out what our Thai friends can do and allow them to do it, and maybe not the way that we would prefer to do it, but that's culturally acceptable for them. And our obedience, we need to obey what God has told us to do through the word of the written of word in the Bible, through what Jesus left as an example, and through what the Holy Spirit empowers us to do. And yeah, so through all this, lives are transformed. Often we read our Bibles and we are merely informed, but we don't allow that word of God to transform our lives. That we need to read it and read it and reread it again so that it does have this transforming work in our lives. So, what has our work looked like? We've been teaching, as again, Francis stealing our thunder. Schools, temples, universities. Out in the village, Lindley was taught keyboard to one particular girl who's very gifted, and she has taught keyboard to others. Guitar and ukulele. Sunday school and teaching. Lindley was been preaching in the different places, different churches that we've had connections with. We have youth camps where there's an English component, but also a Bible teaching component to those. Neighbourhood outreaches in all sorts of ways. For example, last Christmas, we had only about 75 people come to celebrate Christmas with us at our house, and the opportunity to share. Yeah, why does Jesus get in on this Christmas thing? And to explain, yes, this is the source of thing, the celebration. Lindley has done some writing, Bible reading notes that we talked about, the translation of resources that are very limited for Thai Christians anyway. Several years ago, many of you will be aware that Murray Robertson wrote a book on the last 18 chapters of Revelation, The Future of Humanity. And about 2 years ago, he revised that for the Langham Partnership. We consulted with him, and Lindley and several others translated much of that for the Thai Christians. We try and avoid Revelation because it's scary stuff. And Thais don't like it either. But with Lindley and her helpers, this is really exciting stuff. And Lindley's helpers would want to leave right then, right now, to preach the things that they were learning together, from drawn out from what Murray had to say in his explanation of Revelation. Income generation projects, yes, Francis got that right too. Baking. Thais love love cake and cookies. Typically, they don't have ovens to be able to do that. So we were able to provide ovens so that, they were able to do some baking and may be able to have income enhancement, income generation stuff to enhance their income levels. Horticulture, one thing that Francis didn't say was about our asparagus. So I'm not sure if you're aware, asparagus grows really well in Thailand. It's native of Mediterranean salt marshes. And so because it's salty conditions, yeah, we have saline conditions in our soils in the tropics. And because it's the Mediterranean, it doesn't mind heat. In fact, it prefers the heat, and it doesn't mind getting dry, provided it's not too dry. Lindley and I came back to New Zealand about 18 months ago for our holiday. We have aging mothers, and we wanted to see them while they were still alive. Yes, they're still alive, but we didn't know that a year and a half ago, that they would be. So we had a request from some of our friends. They would like some asparagus seed. So when we were here in New Zealand, I was able to source some asparagus seed. And family said, oh, we would like to give you some money to help with the projects. So it was $504 for the asparagus seed. And the family came up with $500. So Lindley and Peter only had to dip into our pockets for $4. With asparagus, we need to allow it to grow strong roots so that it will survive. Perennials will survive for 20 years. If you start harvesting it too soon, yes, you can get some production from it after 9 months, a year or something like that. But getting into it too soon, by the time 3 years has elapsed, there's no strength left in the roots anymore. However, you leave it for 3 years and get strong plants, and then for 20 years we can get production from that. Some of the conflicts we were talking about before, how we overcome the subsistence level mentality. So with the subsistence level, yeah, well, we have a problem now, and we can see that we can meet that need now. So let's cut the asparagus. You have this problem now, but if we get through it some other way, come 3 years, and the asparagus will be good for 20 years production and ongoing income for all that time. Surprises. We have some delightful surprises. On the left, Lindley did the Bible reading notes for 366 days worth of readings for people with relatively low education intended for them. It was intended, in our way of thinking initially, that it would be for the poor rice farmers in our area. But about a year ago, that there was a forum for other expat missionaries working around Thailand. Does anybody know of any Bible reading materials for new believers? So this particular one from Pattaya, which is one of the sex pits of Thailand, especially from the days that we had the Vietnam War, but carried on since then. So one of the sex workers now follows Jesus, happy to have her photo taken, reading Lindley's Bible reading notes. The next one on her left shoulder, Kun Bo, he was a shaman, a witch doctor. And people would go to him for all sorts of help. When's a good time to get married? Find out what the spirits have to say. About 2 years ago, he decided he would follow Jesus, and he'd been baptized in that time. A few days before we left Thailand, he was telling us that he'd been called out with other witch doctors, shamans, who were doing their incantations to try and help somebody who was unable to walk. So, come and help us, they said. So, Bull went to help them. And he said, oh, you need Jesus. So, he said, in Jesus' name, get up and walk. And the man got up and walked. And they were Hello, we talked about mouths opened like stunned mullets. Yes, they were too. We haven't heard the outworking of that, where it's leading. But these are some of the surprises. Yai Meng with... Oh, Yai Pan, sorry, I got the name wrong. Yeah, she used to have trouble...
No, this one's the fear of God.
Oh, you're right, yes.
Not Meng.
About 2 years ago at Easter, Lindley was talking about Jesus came to rule over all areas of our lives, including our fears and over the ghosts and the Pibop is the ghost that will get inside you and eat you from the inside out, so they thought. And so a lot of people are afraid of the ghosts, and she was too. And then Lindley talked about Jesus as being more powerful than these. And she didn't have to be afraid of the ghost. And she didn't have to be afraid of other things like walking home at night after the meetings in the evening and it's dark, or walking down the lane in the village. She didn't have to be afraid of these things anymore, and she's not. And she has assurance. And at last is our teenager, Nam, who we met up with in a strange sort of way. One of the things that I've done a lot of the time is gone and visit other churches. So we have a house in Hallsville, and we lived there for many years. And from time to time, I would come across town and come to Opawa. In my student days, I would occasionally come to Opawa. And I've done it all over the place, including in Thailand. And one met up with some interesting people, including an old woman who would be about 80 years old. And she knew that we were around. And the old woman was on a taxi one day with some girls from the high school who were needing foreigners to help them with a English project. So the old woman brought Nam and several others to our house, rolled up on a Friday morning. And so they recorded an interview with Lindley, and they took away and then had to write out their transcript. But then they lost it. So then they had to, Nam had to come back. So while they was there, sitting at our table with Lindley, and Lindley had her Bible on the table, Nam wanted to know about, do you follow Jesus? She wanted a Bible of her own. She had a copy of the Bible reading notes as well. And she's decided to become a follower of Jesus, she and several others. Some of the surprises that we have. Xiangkhe is a place that we were invited to go to about 7 years ago. Initially, we were to teach English. And this fellow here, he is one of the leaders in the Christian community. He and his wife and their daughter at the time were the only followers of Jesus in the village. And
this house, Bull, the shaman, he's the owner.
He owned the land. So it started off, as you see in the left of the picture, and they wanted to make some developments. So change to this picture here, and then May last year we opened the centre, which is used for all sorts of things, from home group meetings to community centre,
English.
So we have on the left, what it used to be like on the inside and on the right, what it is now. And in both cases, you see, it's the music group. How old are those kids? Yes, they are kids. In the left, they're probably about 10 or 11, and on the right, they've grown up again, but they're up to 13 then, but it's still the same kids. Mm-hmm. Yes?
No, it's not, because Poon and Pang are the ones we had the big problem.
Mm. At the keyboard.
But all the others are under 13.
Hmm.
Yeah. And from two people, our last Sunday at the bottom.
Oh, oops, we're losing it. Put it in there. Little churches can be bigger churches. God's power from that to this. Sadness and joys. Yeah, we have the kids top left were keen to follow Jesus, and then the kids got to teenage years and raging hormones. The girls start to chase after the boys. And Wirichai, who we pointed out to you earlier, took these girls aside. You shouldn't be doing this for many reasons. Not a good witness, he said to them. Oh, they weren't going to listen to him. So that they decided they'd just avoid him. As with many people these days, yes, they have their smartphones as well. They can put an app on your phone. Yes, they've got the Bible app on their phone like I've got it on mine. And so there are... When
they turned up one church in town.
Yes, yeah, so after they'd had the fallout, this picture here... they turned up in town, and they still had the Bible app on their phone. You can delete an app, but they hadn't. Do they read it every day? That's something I can't tell you.
And they
joined in with the camp, which is the big picture at the on the bottom, and we're delighted about that. And how they can help, how they can be involved, even if it's not in the village, it's more in the city. Jesus had things right, 4 months from planting until the harvest. Yeah, these pictures around, and we've seen a harvest that's happened in our area as well. What role that we had in that... Not sure whether it would have happened with us or without us. But yeah, there is a harvest. And these scenes are common around our way. The picture here is becoming less and less common with people harvesting by hand. More machinery comes in at an expense, of course. So... Yes, it will do in about 2 hours what would otherwise take perhaps 2 weeks by hand. But there are advantages monetarily, and there's also the spin-off. You have to fund that somehow or other. So where in the world are we? Yeah, we all have families. We all have neighbours and workmates or schoolmates or similar. We can be part of clubs and interest groups. We can meet people. So, is God calling you to relocate? Maybe across the city, maybe across the country, and maybe across the world. All of us have... need to find out where God has for us. We, Jesus taught us to pray, "Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So if we love God, we'll obey him, as we talked about before. Obedience and cooperation. And even if some things seem strange, Lindley had an experience of, she should go walking in the university grounds across the lane from where we are in the middle of the afternoon. Cole Porter had it right. It's mad dogs and Englishmen out in the midday sun. But she met up with some strategic people. Through that, we need to be open to what God has to say to us and be obedient. And we have ongoing relationships with many because of Lindley hearing God's voice and going out, even though it's much less comfortable in the middle of the day. We would take our dogs for a walk through the university grounds, typically in the early evening when it's much more pleasant temperatures, drop from high 30s to low 30s. We need to be salt and light wherever it is that we are. We need to be transforming the presence of the communities through what God has done in our lives. We talked a few minutes ago, are we being informed when we read our Bibles, or are we being transformed? So we have our challenges. The team in Thailand will be have a different emphasis because Peter and Lindley aren't part of the team anymore. We don't plan to go back. I had my hand up for a gold card and went in just this week to get application forms for that. We're finishing our role, but God hasn't finished in where we've been working, and God hasn't finished with us. So what does the future hold for Lindley and Peter? We don't know. We have challenges. You too have challenges. You've got a meeting in a few minutes to discuss some of those challenges. You have building project just through the wall is one of your challenges. The young people going off to Fiji. Well, who's next? Who are you going to identify as part of the church here in Opawa to send somebody else? Some of the challenges that we have in store for us. What are these challenges? And as we talked about balancing priorities, yes, we all need to as well. As I come to a conclusion here, I need to extend our thanks to you for inviting us today. Not only that, for supporting us, as I mentioned earlier, over all the time that we've been involved in building God's kingdom beyond New Zealand's shores. Thank you.